We're entitling this week Post-Resurrection Truths. We're just dipping into a few of the stories that we find after Jesus arose from the dead. And yesterday we talked about how the women were the first ones entrusted to release the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that there's so much in that. We won't revisit that today. But do you know on the evening of the first resurrection, you know, the women were at the tomb that morning, mm-hmm. but that evening was the occasion when Jesus appeared in the room to the disciples. Actually, there were 10 of them present because we know Judas had hung himself and Thomas was not there. And so on that first resurrection evening, we have that appearance. And about a week later, Jesus appears back to them after Thomas rejoins them. And so let's read the first few verses down through verse 24. And we'll talk about that, and then we'll pick up and go on.
So we're in John 20, beginning in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. That's an understatement, I think. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So lots of interesting things in there. Same day of the evening, that's been Sunday evening of the resurrection is when this event happened.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot there. The first thing that really strikes me is it says that it being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. So Jesus came and stood in their midst, even though all the doors were shut and closed. And in other words, kind of what's happening, they have barricaded themselves in this room. And it's still a very threatening and fearful situation for those disciples. You could see how it would be easily for them to conclude, "Oh my goodness, they have now crucified Jesus." They want to stamp out everything he did, everything he was about. And they know we spent time with him because, you know, Peter had already, just kind of put yourself in the sandals of the people in that room. Peter, we know that he had failed the Lord. He went out and he wept bitterly. And Judas went out and hung himself because he had betrayed the Lord. All of the disciples fled, save John. We find him at the cross. And so they're still in that state of shock and confusion. The previous 3 years, day and night, they'd spent with Jesus. They'd seen all these miraculous things. And Jesus prepared them for his exodus. God was all in. He was prepared, you know, at his transfiguration. Jesus was. He talked about it with Moses and Elijah, and then he talked about his departure with his disciples. But yet when it happened, it was a shocking, stunning, threatening, fearful circumstance that these disciples were in. Jesus wasn't with them as he had been before. They couldn't touch him, see him. And so
a big transition.
But then pow, there he is in the room. And like you said, that was probably an understatement.
They were glad.
Yeah,
so what that word means in the original.
Yeah. But
happy dance.
Let's just apply that for a moment. Sometimes believers go through times in their lives when the way they thought things were going to unfold, it didn't happen just like that. Mm-hmm. They're confused, disillusioned. Maybe their faith's really being tested. And most of us have been through something like that. Like, this is what I believed and this is what I was expecting, but look at what I'm looking at. Look at what I've gotten. Where are you, Lord? You know, what am I going to do now? It seems like, they weren't in that situation, and you may be in a situation like that. And the good news is Jesus still shows up.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up in the middle of their confusion. He shows up in the middle of their fear. He shows up in their middle of them feeling abandoned. He shows up. I'm so happy that he's still showing up. He's still with us.
Amen, amen. Jesus came, stood in their midst, and that just didn't matter that there were physical barriers, you know.
It tells us something about the nature of his post-resurrection, now glorified, yet material, corporal body.
Mm-hmm.
They recognized him.
Right.
We know, as you read on through this whole story, what happens here and what's coming later when Thomas rejoins them, that you could touch him. You could feel him. I mean, there's one occasion after the resurrection when he's eating fish with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like his body, and just to look at him, it's the same as before, yet qualitatively different, because here he just appears in the room. So I don't understand all that we find here in the scripture about this. There's times when Jesus appeared and it was like the ability was taken away from people to recognize him. Even when he met the women in the garden, you know, they didn't recognize. Of course, they weren't expecting to see him. Just like we're told about angels, we entertain them sometimes unaware that they're spiritual beings. So there is a supernatural, spiritual, transnatural ability that this glorified, resurrected body Jesus is now in has that's different than our physical bodies bound to earth. Of course, we saw that manifested in him before his death. He walked on water. He did these kind of things. And so this, I guess what I'm trying to say, and this seems to be a peephole into the future of what our glorified bodies are going to, how they're going to be able to operate, what they're going to look like. It shouldn't, if God is light, we know the speed of light is faster than your car will go, right? It's like 186,000 miles per second, something like that. But no problem from going into one dimension into the other dimension. We think of three dimensions, but the scientists have already discovered there's numerous dimensions. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, that in the middle of this earthly dimension which we live, there is a very active, alive and well spiritual dimension. That's where the angels are ministering, the Holy Spirit is moving, and yet we're able to interrelate in these dimensions through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. So I'm taking too much time on this, but Jesus just appeared in the room, and he, you can't do that in the body you now possess, but it does give us, I believe, again, a snapshot of what that resurrection body is going to look like in the future.
Yes, and I think that's interesting and encouraging for people too, because people have a lot of questions about what is the resurrection? What's that going to look like? What will our bodies be like? When we're told and we'll know and be known, but what is that like? And so it's very fascinating, I think.
And even now, the scripture seems to suggest that people who die and their spirit leaves, that there is some type of a habitable form that they have. But that is completely different than the resurrection body they will receive. Now, you won't have your resurrection body until
You're resurrected,
until the resurrection. And so that's there's a lot of mystery in this. Mm-hmm. It's exciting to consider. The Lord's got that all worked out. Our faith will become sight, and the scripture is clear that we'll know even as we're known. There will be an upgrade in our knowledge, our what we know, who we know. I believe there will be a major upgrade in how we transport. You know, sometimes we've heard, we see this in scripture, and sometimes we hear of people experiencing some type of supernatural transport that's inexplicable in natural terms. We do see that in the scripture, but yet in the future, obviously, the limitations imposed on us in the natural realm will not be imposed when we have a glorified body and we're living in the kingdom's supernatural spiritual realm.
That's right. That's fascinating.
It is. It really is. Another thing we see here is, you mentioned this earlier about how when just Jesus' presence shifted the emotional atmosphere in the room, it shifted the mindset of the disciples in the room. They, you know, I imagine in one moment they went from one type of fear to another. Mm-hmm. You know, they were afraid of the Jews, but now here they are like, whoa! Mm-hmm. Is that you, Lord? I mean, recognizing that means he's conquered death. How did he get in here? No doors were open. You know, all of this, that's a whole nother level of reverential fear.
Well, it's one thing for us to read it but for us to put ourselves in the place of those disciples, what it would have been like, you know, to try to go back and imagine that for someone that we knew who had died and was crucified, was buried, and we saw all that, experienced all that, then to appear, you know, it was a lot to take in, and they hadn't yet put all the truths of the scripture, all that Jesus had told them, and the truths of the scripture.
Yeah, he told them plainly, but they didn't get it.
Because they didn't have any.
Right.
They didn't have a template, so to speak.
That's right.
For that understanding. So
it would have been like talking to somebody in 1901 about the internet.
Right.
Or about your personal computer. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, what are you talking about?
There's no foundation for it.
Yeah, no grid for it.
Well,
that's a good point.
They could have had some foundation for it from the scriptures, mm-hmm. but not a real understanding. So it was, it was a lot. But how exciting, that fear to joy, just gladness. I can't imagine how their hearts were just so encouraged and made alive by the fact that, you know, we thought maybe our dreams had died, and now here Jesus is again with us, and he's conquered death. What a thought.
You know, there's a worship song that we will do from time to time. It's an older song, but it's kind of like, when he walks into the room, everything changes. You know, that's what's happening here. And that still happens today. You may not see him in his glorified, resurrected body, but when he's always with us, right? Mm-hmm. But his manifested presence. We've been in worship services when all of a sudden, you know, you have a room full of people, and next moment you realize somebody else has stepped in here too in a manifest way. I have sensed that in my body. What's interesting, you've seen it hit a service where everybody in the room knows it in that moment. Even though, I mean, it's just undeniable. And people that don't maybe have spiritual perception or understand these things, you know, they can be an answer. And even they can be aware that, what is this, you know? It's powerful what can happen when God's presence manifests. And I mean, these guys went from being afraid and sad and thinking it was over to realizing, oh my heavens, heaven's in the room, you know. And I love it. I love these types of stories we find in the scripture. And then Jesus commissions them.
Yes.
As the Father sent me, so send I you, you know. It's, wow, that's powerful.
It is. And breathes on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, receive the Holy Spirit.
They receive the Holy Spirit. And that went from just joy and excitement to a whole new experience with God.
Yeah. What filled the room when Jesus stepped in there now filled them, because he breathed on them. Now, our time's already up today, but we could talk about this a whole lot, about what did it mean when he said receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we do know this, that later he says tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Mm-hmm. You know, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And Luke, he says, and you'll be endued with power from on high. That would be later, on the day of Pentecost. So whatever this is, it was not that. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, where they actually were flooded with the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But the empowering ministry, the upon you ministry, that would come later for these. And I do believe that simultaneously on the day of Pentecost for those beyond this group, they got the pow-pow, you know, they got the inside out of this, the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit and the upon you ministry of the Holy Spirit, that intrinsic internal presence, the indwelling, and then the coming upon, the baptism, the empowering is the that which enables us to have the external manifestation and demonstrations of his power through witness, through gifts, through the miraculous, mm-hmm. through the supernatural, through revelatory giftings and so forth. So this is amazing. And how much to take in just a few minutes after Jesus stepped in the room. I mean, that...
But you know one thing I think? I'm going to interrupt you here. One thing that happens when Jesus steps in is that it fills you with faith. You know, so I think it wasn't just what was happening in the natural, when their minds in the natural were going, oh my goodness, what is this? But also I think it just filled them with faith and the Holy Spirit is helping them begin to connect dots, and they're, you know, beginning to be filled with hope again. And so
that's true. That
the faith that comes when you encounter the Holy Spirit is amazing, because he imparts faith, and you know that nothing is impossible.
Yeah, like, woo, Lord, more, Lord.
More.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I can stand anymore. More, I don't know if I can stand anymore. You know,
it's a good thing.
Well, we've kind of flown way below the heights that this scripture can take us. But we encourage you guys just to dive into this and read. We haven't even got into Thomas yet, so I guess we'll be back here tomorrow. But we've enjoyed having these few moments with you on this Wednesday. It's a beautiful day. I hope you have a great day. We'll be back at 6:30 tonight. If you would have your bread and cup ready, we'll be doing communion after a little time of teaching tonight. We sure do appreciate those of you who drop by and spend this time with us, and those of you who view it later, all of you are amazing. And hey, Don, bless you. I'm listening. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Don. Love you guys. You're amazing, and I appreciate all of you being on here.
All right.
Love you all.
See you later.